Welcome to another episode of the Expert Witness Playbook, the podcast where we explore the business, strategy, and real-world experience behind successful expert witness practices and medical legal consulting. I'm your host, Brian Woodruff, board-certified pediatric neurologist and medical expert witness. On this podcast, we speak with physicians, legal nurse consultants, attorneys, and industry leaders who are shaping the evolving world of medical legal work. Today's guest is Sheikh Ali, founder and CEO of SC Medical Media. Sheikh took an interesting path into entrepreneurship, transitioning from medical school into the world of digital branding and LinkedIn marketing, where he now specializes in helping clinicians and healthcare executives build authority online. Through SC Medical Media, Sheikh has worked with over 40 legal nurse consultants and physicians, expert witnesses, helping them completely revamp their LinkedIn presence to better position themselves in the medical legal marketplace. His expertise focuses on personal branding, strategic networking, and content positioning that helps healthcare professionals create meaningful business relationships and attract high-value opportunities. As the medical legal field continues becoming increasingly competitive, establishing credibility and visibility online is more important than ever. Sheikh has become a recognized voice in this space and is scheduled to speak at several national conferences later this year. Sheikh, welcome to the Expert Witness Playbook.
Brian, thank you so much for having me. I am so honored to be here, and thank you for that warm introduction. I appreciate it. Looking forward to our discussion.
Yeah, no, I really like your, we met on LinkedIn, and I really like your presence as far as you're very involved, and you have a lot of insightful comments that I see it's just fun. But I'd love to hear sort of, you've got an interesting background, to say the least. Tell the audience kind of where you've been and what brought you to what you're doing now.
Sure. When I was 7 years old, I wanted to be a private practice surgeon. I know, very, very specific, but there are two components to that. First of all, I was always interested in anatomy from the time I was very young. And so naturally that led to an interest in surgery. And then in terms of the private practice arm, that came about because I do not come from a lineage of physicians, but rather I come from entrepreneurs. A lot of entrepreneurs in our family. And so because that entrepreneurship ran in my blood, it seemed like the obvious choice. Now, fast forward 20 years, undergrad, medical school, and between third and fourth year of medical school, that's when COVID happened. And that changed the landscape in terms of how medicine is practiced. And what I've noticed was that a lot of private equity and big hospital systems are actually buying out the private practices. And so I noticed that there wasn't really necessarily an avenue for me to pursue that private practice surgery goal as a young and upcoming physician. Now, for the physicians that are a little bit older and more established, it's a little bit different. And so that was really the impetus for me to decide to pivot to entrepreneurship. And then when I was looking at entrepreneurship opportunities, social media marketing came about because a lot of clinics, a lot of businesses were moving more into the virtual realm. And so I decided to go all in on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn for healthcare professionals in January of 2023. Then 1 year after that, January of 2024, so as of this recording, approximately 2.5 years ago, I decided to go all in on LinkedIn specifically because I like LinkedIn. I love the world of LinkedIn. The platform is more professional compared to the other social media platforms. And also, I like that the people that are on LinkedIn tend to be older and more established in their careers. And then later on in that year, so around October, November of 2024, I decided to hone in on the clinician and healthcare executive crowd specifically, because your typical doctor down the street isn't necessarily going to benefit from LinkedIn. But if you want to build business to business connections, and if you want to become an industry leader in your expertise, that's really where LinkedIn can allow you to shine.
So you're working not only with experts, but administrative executives at hospitals and sort of broader than just expert witnesses or legal nurse consultants. Kind of, you have you have kind of a broader approach, obviously.
I do. As a matter of fact, I have worked with a few people at the VP level in medical device sales. So those will be healthcare executives. And then I've also just, I just started working recently with somebody who is vying for a C-suite role in a big hospital system who comes from a nursing background, but has been a healthcare operations executive for 20 years. So yes, I do work with generally clinician and healthcare executives. And because of that, that's why I don't go beyond healthcare. Because I know healthcare the best, that's my world, and it's an honor to serve you all in this capacity. And so yes, I do work with people outside of the medical legal realm as well.
So you told us a little bit about LinkedIn. I mean, there may be some people that have never looked at LinkedIn or have never been on it, but obviously it has a different flavor and feel to it than Instagram, Facebook, or X or whatever we're calling at this days,
Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter, X, or formerly known as. So LinkedIn seems like all my friends, you know, a lot of my friends are in the business world. They're all on it and connected through it. As far as, you know, most of our listeners are people that either want to be expert witnesses or already are expert witnesses. Where do you see how this can be approached by an expert witness or an up-and-coming one and how it can help them?
LinkedIn is the number one business-to-business networking platform on the internet with 1.3 billion, with a B, users worldwide. Now, in terms of how it applies to the physician experts, it allows you to connect with people nationally at scale and from the comfort of your own office. And I think for physician experts, because the scope of the work transcends state boundaries and state lines, because it is national work that you do. So for example, you're based in Michigan, but you can get a case from basically anywhere in the country. I think that LinkedIn has a very unique, I guess you can say, market position or advantage, if you will, in terms of building out that robust network. That's number one. Number two, a lot of physician experts are, most physician experts are in one specific specialty of practice. And so there's sometimes, I'm sure you've seen this, Brian, where there's a case that comes across your desk that is not in the pediatric neurology realm, but might be in another specialty. And so being able to build that robust network of physician experts across specialties, across the nation, is very advantageous for experts. The other aspect of this too is that you might get a case that is pediatric neurology, but for you, there might be a conflict of interest. And so you're going to need someone in your network who is also a pediatric neurologist, who's an expert, who can take a look at that case instead. So I think that in terms of really building out that robust business-to-business network, I think that's really where LinkedIn can shine. And then lastly, which is something we can talk about more if you'd like to, it really allows you to connect with the attorneys directly, because it is against LinkedIn's terms and conditions, as opposed to the other platforms, to have more than one LinkedIn account. So duplicate accounts are not allowed. So who you see is who you get. So if I message Dr. Brian Woodruff, I'm messaging Dr. Brian Woodruff. If you message Sheikh Siali, you know you're getting me directly. So that creates
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yep. Yeah. And that creates a huge advantage in terms of having less gatekeeping and being able to access, you know, your particular connections directly.
Okay. So people that are, I think one of the big things is experts or up and coming experts want to get more work. That's like the bottom line. What is kind of the approach to using LinkedIn that you would suggest somebody that has may have a LinkedIn account, but may have never posted once in their life?
Right.
So there's obviously how you sort of set yourself up. So there's kind of, I see it as two sides, and maybe you can like what people see, what you present in your bio or whatever you call that, and then how you start to post or deliver your deliverables. Maybe there are more aspects to it, but give us some idea of how people should be approaching those two sides of LinkedIn.
Sure. So when it comes to LinkedIn, let's talk a little bit about the profile in general. So the three most important parts of your profile in chronological order. Number one, I would say, is your headline. And we'll talk more about the headline in a moment. Number two is the banner photo, which is very underrated. So that's the photo that appears behind your profile photo. And then number three is the actual About Me section. Okay. And so when a physician expert is looking to position themselves, they have to think about what are those three things going to say and what is the messaging that's going to be conveyed there. And so for the headline, for example, instead of saying board certified X physician, you should say, I help X do Y in Z setting. So when you adopt that format, you're much more intentional and more specific about what exactly who you're looking to target and what exactly you're looking to do. Okay, that's number one. Number two, when it comes to the banner photo, I always recommend putting a few bullet points that are pertinent to your services, because again, it's a good clear snapshot. So as soon as people see your profile, they're able to look and see, oh, this is what this physician expert does, or this is the specialty that he or she is in. And then your about me section can be a combination of your description of your clinical experience, because I think that is literally the foundation for all the expert work, is your clinical expertise and your experience, and then a little bit about your expert work just in terms of the services that you offer. So that's really an excellent way to really position your profile to target that. But when it comes to me in terms of working with my clients, I actually have a four-step process for LinkedIn. Number one is strategy. Number two is profile. Number three is content. And number four is outreach. So really in working with physician experts, it's really going through that entire process to really build it out and to make their LinkedIn presence so that attorneys and legal nurse consultants, because legal nurse consultants can be an important referral base for physician experts, and fellow physician experts would be able to see exactly who this person is, what they stand for, and who they're targeting.
Okay.
So kind of some great, starter things for getting the profile. One of the things I'm always surprised, sometimes I'll see a LinkedIn and somebody doesn't even have a picture of themselves. I think like, oh, that's such a fail. So I think probably at the very least, get a decent, head and shoulders picture up there that you're proud of, right? Mm-hmm. And keep it current. Another one I met somebody and their profile picture was clearly like 20 years younger than who they were. And so I was like, oh, come on. Like, let's get something a little bit more up to date. So what are some other sort of strategies to build referral relationships through content and networking on LinkedIn?
Great question. So first, the first thing that you have to do is get your strategy in place, because this is where the vast majority of people that I see, clinician executives, physician expert witnesses, even nurse expert witnesses as well, they make the biggest mistake. I don't know who they are and what they're doing. So if your profile isn't really positioned properly, like what we talked about before, then the content to me, that's meaningless, because that has to come first. Once your profile is established and what we discussed, when it comes to the actual content itself, this is an interesting point, because when it comes to physician experts and nurse experts, many of them tell me, well, I'm concerned that my content might be used against me in a trial. And I think that is a very valid concern. So that's number one. However, I will also say that their CV, any prior testimony that they've done, any podcast interviews that they've done, any freestanding interviews that they've done, any research articles that they've published are all under scrutiny as far as I'm concerned. So that's not
absolutely, so absolutely everything.
Right. So LinkedIn is only one part of that equation. And so I think that it's, of course, important to be diligent, but I do think that there are safe topics and there are danger topics. So let's break those down.
Yeah, talk about those. Absolutely. That's a great spot. What are the safe topics and what are the danger zones?
So some of the safe topics to talk about are anything that is pertinent to your clinical practice. So for example, I don't expect you to talk about something in general surgery, but if you talk about something that's in neurology, that is demonstrating your clinical expertise with the goal of educating and also writing at a fifth grade level, that's very important for LinkedIn specifically. So if the goal there is to educate your audience and you're writing about something that's within your scope, that would be a safe zone. That's number one. Number two, if you have any leadership insights based on your clinical practice and what you're doing, if you have any leadership things that you would like to discuss, I think that's a great opportunity to do that. And number three, if you have any industry insights in particular. So all of those, okay, I think are in the safe zone. Now, in terms of the danger zone, anything where you make an absolutist claim, big no-no. I would not do that. That's number one. Number two, anything that that ventures into religion, politics, or anything that's more of a sensational in nature as opposed to educational and informative, that's another big no-no. And then number three, opining on a particular case or discussing a current case that you're working on, that is definitely in the danger zone, and that could be used as ammunition against you. So you have to be very careful. But I think as long as you stay within those safe zones that I talked about earlier, I don't really see any cause for concern.
That's good. So kind of staying within your specialty and providing true education, mm-hmm. as opposed to just blasting marketing. And, you know, you brought up fifth grade. I was kind of taken aback by that because I think of LinkedIn as being a very professionally based. Tell me why you said fifth grade.
Because not everyone who is reading your content has the same education level as you as a physician expert. And so being able to break down the, especially if we're talking about clinically educating people, being able to break it down so that physicians, your fellow physician colleagues can understand. Number two, so that nurses can understand, nurse experts or legal nurse consultants. And number three, so that attorneys can understand, because the goal of the physician expert is to help make sense of the medical record in an objective manner. That's always been my understanding of what a physician expert does. And so really being able to break that down so that everybody can understand it. Number one, the people who are in the industry, like your fellow physicians, will respect you because you're able to break it down. And number two, the people who may not have as much medical knowledge that you do will also be able to understand it as well. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, I mean, I have a LinkedIn profile. I'll probably be going back to look at some things based on this conversation that we're I'll be going back to look at it because we don't work. I mean, we have not worked together in the past. I've just been so impressed by how engaged you have been on LinkedIn. But one of the things LinkedIn markets some stuff. Like what is some stuff that LinkedIn markets to people that is, outside of, the basic profile that you purchase, mm-hmm. You get like this, do the professional or this enhanced or what are good buys versus stuff to leave behind?
Great question. I always recommend to myself and my clients premium business. That's really all that you need, because premium business gives you a 90-day window and retrospect of who has been looking at your profile. Because a lot of times, and oftentimes we see this, Brian, with the attorneys, they will lurk, but they will not like, and they will not comment. And I understand from a litigation standpoint why they would do that. But if they're lurking on your profile, then having premium business gives you the opportunity to see that they looked at your profile, and then you can connect with them and then have a private conversation in the direct message inbox. The other thing about premium business that I really like is it has unlimited searchability. So you can search in the search bar for attorneys or if fellow physician experts, legal nurse consultants. You can do that with no limits whatsoever if you have premium business. Now, there is something that LinkedIn has that's called Sales Navigator. I think that's a little bit more advanced. If you want to build lists, so for example, lists of legal nurse consultants, lists of physician experts, and lists of attorneys, then I do think that Sales Navigator is an option, but I don't think it's mandatory. So premium
business. Is that sort of like a Salesforce sort of?
Yeah, it's sort of where you can build an internal CRM pretty much.
CRM, that's what, that was the thing. Yeah. I knew it started with a C, but I couldn't remember. Yeah. What does CRM stand for?
It's a good question. I think it's...
Oh, anyway, that's okay. That's all right.
Customer Relationship Management.
Okay, CRM. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because that's like Salesforce type stuff. All these business alphabet soup. So we've talked about, I think one of the big things is not doing things that are going to make things worse for you from the mm-hmm. cross-examination standpoint. And I've seen some things on there that I cringe when I've seen a few people, what they put up, and I'm like, I can see where that's going to come back to bite them. So I think this is really important, data for people to get involved in, and to be careful with. I guess, I love top three things. So I guess what would be the sort of the top three do's of LinkedIn? If we're going to, people are going to leave here today with the top three do's and the top three don'ts, what would they be?
Top three do's. Number one, have a quality professional photograph as your profile photo. And I know you talked about it earlier, because that photograph is what my headshot photographer likes to call your first impression architect. That is because that's going to be seen on everywhere that you post, is have a quality photo, number one. Number two, make sure that your headline is speaking to outcomes rather than necessarily I do this, I do that. Because when you do that, you are putting your ideal audience first and you're talking about what you're actually doing for them. Just so everyone is on the same page, the headline is the text that appears underneath your name. And so that appears whenever you're posting and whenever you are commenting on other people's posts, you're going to see that little headline underneath the name. And then number three, the other do I would say is know who your target audience is. I know I keep ramming this over and over, but you'd be surprised at how many people are still making a mistake about this. Because if you don't know who you are targeting, then you're going to end up writing content that kind of goes all over the place.
And so that's your strategy. That's sort of the big strategy.
That is the strategy. That's why strategy for me is the number one part and the bedrock of my entire process in working with clients, and also doing it to myself, because I am the test subject for everything before I share information with my clients. So those are the three do's.
Awesome.
Now the don'ts. Number one, stop making LinkedIn about just yourself and what you've done and your board certifications and things of that nature. Make it about what value you are providing to others. So for example, how are you helping the attorney make sense of the medical records and provide that objective clinical viewpoint? Like what is the gap that you're bridging there in order to really help the attorney understand, who does not have the strong medical knowledge or the medical background or clinical practice background that a physician expert has? That's like my number one don't. So don't make it about yourself. Number two, and this kind of goes back to strategy, don't post about random things. Don't post about anything and anything. When it comes to LinkedIn, it's all about quality over quantity of posts, and make sure that your posts have a target in mind, because if you confuse, you lose. And so if you are confusing people with your posts, then LinkedIn is not going to know who to push that post out to. That's my second thing. And number three, I would say, again, be careful with the absolutist claims. I think that's really the big one, especially for the physician experts.
Awesome. So I know people are going to want to reach out to you. They've heard you. What is the best way to reach you? How can people reach you? Because we're going to put that up on the screen. And so that'll be available to people. But a lot of people are just hearing this in audio also. So how should people reach out to you?
Well, I guess you can imagine that by the topic of this, the best way to reach me is through LinkedIn.
Exactly. So
feel free to send me a LinkedIn direct message. My inbox is open. My inbox is public and open to everyone. So you can even send me what's called like an in-mail. And so you can send me a message on LinkedIn, Sheikh C, my middle initial, Ali, Sheikh C, Ali. And then you can also email me as well, if that would be easier, scmedicalmedia@gmail.com.
Oh, that's easy. Awesome. Well, what is there anything else? Anything else that's burning at it that you want to tell people before we wrap things up? Because I think this is we've covered a lot. I think this has been awesome, and I think a lot of people are writing down notes and are going back to their LinkedIn profile and saying, "Okay, what have I done right and what have I done wrong?" What are some kind of closing thoughts, if you have anything?
The only two things I want to mention is, first of all, if you are looking for a physician expert who's a great case study, a great example to follow, I highly recommend Stephen Cohen. And I know he was a guest of your podcast. He is always posting very informative things on LinkedIn, and he understands the do's and don'ts, like what we were talking about before about content. And I'll put a little plug and say he was a former client of mine. So so that could be part of the reason why.
You did such a good job that you let him loose. Your freedom. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Steve Cohen is a great guy. If people haven't listened to my podcast with him that came out a while back, he's a surgeon. and is a real dynamo. I'm sure he's awesome in deposition and trial. And I got to meet him at the legal nurse conference.
AALNC.
AALNC and the Life Care Planner conference. It was kind of a combo conference. Mm-hmm. Well, this is great. Oh, and, you had one more thing you wanted.
One more thing. The one more thing I wanted to say is that in the modern 21st century, visibility is no longer an option. It is mandatory. And if you are not going to advocate for yourself as a physician expert, then who's going to do it for you? So that's my closing words.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking the time out of your day. I know you're busy, you probably just in this time you got to get back to your LinkedIn and helping your clients. But I just want to say thank you for meeting with me and the community of people that are both have established expert witness practices and those that are hoping to get involved. For those of you out there, I appreciate you listening. I hope you'll subscribe. What's even better is reach out and comment. I'm also on LinkedIn. You can reach me through that, but also through my website, childneurologyexpert.com. And I look forward to maybe in the future, Shay can come back and we can do a follow-up because LinkedIn is evolving, it's changed a lot in the years since I've first got on it and did nothing with it until more recently I've actually done a little bit more than nothing, but I'm sure I could do more. So thanks everybody for joining, and until we meet again, keep listening to the Expert Witness Playbook.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.
Bye-bye.